Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Seth Meyers says former President Trump has reportedly been complaining of confidence about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and said that he has, quote, dull personality. Seth said, I'm sorry, is that suddenly a concern of yours? Your vice president was like if a rice cake went to Bible school. Jimmy Fallon said, I feel like Trump is slipping. A few years ago, he would have had like 10 nicknames for this guy. Now he's like Ron DeSantis. I think this is actually a nice change because usually when two Florida guys get in a fight, they're drunk and shirtless. But DeSantis doesn't seem fazed. He said that he's going to handle the insult just like COVID and completely ignore it. Boy, I was so happy to see this story, and I feel like it's something straight out of The Onion, but no, it is from Variety. Daniel Radcliffe is set to star as Weird Al Yankovic in a biopic, Weird, The Al Yankovic Story. The film is Roku's first original biopic and will be available to stream exclusively on the Roku channel. In Weird, The Al Yankovic Story, the biopic holds nothing back, exploring every facet of Yankovic's life from his meteoric rise to fame with early hits like Eat It and Like a Surgeon to his torrid celebrity love affairs and famously depraved lifestyle. Weird, The Al Yankovic Story takes audiences on a truly unbelievable journey through Yankovic's life and career from gifted child prodigy to the greatest musical legend of all time. There was actually a YouTube video about this a few years ago. It was a fake trailer for a movie called Weird that took a very serious look at Weird Al. Sounds like they fleshed that out. Yankovic said in a statement, when my last movie, UHF, came out in 1989, I made a solemn vow to my fans that I would release a major motion picture every 33 years like clockwork. I'm very happy to say we're on a schedule. I'm absolutely thrilled that Daniel Radcliffe will be portraying me in the film. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is the role future generations will remember him for. A suit at Roku said, there clearly aren't enough biopic movies about famous musicians, and we're excited to shine a light in the incredibly true, unexaggerated story of Weird Al. This is sincerely the ultimate combination of talent, creativity, and friends coming together to make something genuinely funny, and we cannot be prouder to call this film a Roku original. That sounds like a good time. I'm looking forward to that. Production begins in LA in early February. I saw this next story in the Daily Mail, the headline that caught my attention. British terrorist nod to Eddie Murphy comedy Coming to America. Yeah? All right. So the story reads, the British terrorist who held up a synagogue posting as a homeless man also conned U.S. border forces by claiming he was staying at a down-at-heel hotel, Britishism, I guess, on the New York street made famous by Eddie Murphy's movie classic Coming to America. The terrorist told U.S. immigration officers he was checking in at an address on Queens Boulevard, but never turned up, according to FBI sources. Now, I'm rusty on that movie. Is there a specific motel in there? Nothing in the story says that the guy went to a specific place in the movie. It just says Queens Boulevard. I'm from Queens. Queens Boulevard is quite lengthy. You might as well have said he went to New York City, home of King Kong. It has nothing to do with anything, unless I'm missing something from the movie. Tell me, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast. Maybe I'm missing something here. But Daily Mail, I feel like you're stretching a little bit. From page 6, Tracy Morgan was cracking jokes about his divorce. Tracy said, my wife took this whole social distancing thing a little too far. I called her up and asked if she was quarantining, and she responded, call it what you want. I left and I ain't coming back. Tracy also gave a shout out to the new New York City mayor, Eric Adams. You are familiar with Eric Adams from the Chris Redd portrayal on Saturday Night Live. Tracy said, last time I voted, it was for David Dinkins, and we all know how that turned out. If you're not from the New York City area, that was 1990 to 1993, arguably one of the low points of New York City. Steve Bennett is someone who saw Dimitri Martin at the Wilbur in Boston. Writing for Chortle, Steve Bennett said of Dimitri Martin's show, the gig suffers issues of momentum with many noticeable lulls. His lowish energy approach is perfect when it comes to giving the audience space to digest one of his ornate morsels of logical absurdity, but proves a hindrance, a lot of big words here, when he's just noodling around with ideas or indulging in some unremarkable crowd work about some guy's wedding. Such moments give the show some texture, providing an in-the-moment looseness his tautly written nuggets never can, but they pale in comparison. Thank you, Steve Bennett in Chortle. Boy, they talk about English being two different languages. I speak the American version. I stumbled over like 19 words in that. Anyway, Steve Bennett, I feel ya. I saw Stephen Wright one time, love Stephen Wright one-liners, but when it's one-liner after 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 one-liner for an hour and a half, My brain got numb. I totally hear you on that. Some stuff doesn't work for a full show. Bill Burr on his podcast said it was a sad week dealing with the effing brutal shock of losing Bob Saget. He's annoyed at people who claim that the vaccine killed Bob Saget. Burr said the amount of dumb crap that people are saying, effing morons, you know, and this is coming from someone who went to summer school almost every year. Somebody gets mad about something and comes up with this angle of effing horse crap, and there's people, they just run with it. Burr joked that anti-vaxxers have modern medicine to thank for their existence, as it kept their parents alive so they could bang and then make them so they could go on the internet and express their ideas. From Fox News, your home for comedy news, Penn Jillette explained that he showed his 15 and 16-year-old kids Bob Saget's work because he was sad about his death, and the kids didn't react so well. They saw clips of Saget on the internet making hardcore jokes about pedophilia and incest. The kids were offended. Penn Jillette said, they thought my friend must have been a bad person. It was hard for them to understand how I could have loved him. I don't know if I could blame them. How could they understand that doing transgressive comedy was in Bob's hands and not about hate and pain, but rather a daredevil act of mutual trust? Jillette went on to lament, in today's culture, people consume media in small chunks, often devoid of its full context. When my children watched little snippets of Bob and read some quotes, they couldn't know that Bob Saget didn't do transgressive comedy to be mean. He didn't even do it to shock. He did it to make people laugh, to test himself, to let the audience test him and form a connection with them. Now it's Wednesday. Normally I'd be grabbing Second Glenn from the Bits and we'd be heading off to trivia night, but I'm afraid of the Omicron, man. I'm not leaving the house. I'm laying low. I'm not sitting there with Glenn in a brewery for 3 hours answering trivia questions and then getting sick, you know, Glenn? So if you want to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, but I'm not going to lie to you. Normally on a Wednesday, I would take your money and I would buy Glenn 5/7 of a beer, but I'm not doing that today. So if you want to support the show, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can donate any amount you want, suggested amount $5. I will take your $5. Glenn gets nothing. I'm getting a nice coffee at the National Donuts chain, a large caramel and milk. From Cinema Blend, Bert Kreischer asked his 800,000 plus Twitter followers what their preferred McDonald's order was. Can I play? Mine is the two cheeseburgers meal, which some McDonald's will tell you doesn't exist anymore. It does. Now, they have moved it off being the number two, which they never should have done. My wife gets so annoyed. I'm so flustered. She'll be like, what do you want? I'm like, two cheeseburger meal. They don't have that anymore. Yes, they do. They moved it from 2 to 9. No, they don't. No. McDonald's, why couldn't you leave that alone? Bert Kreischer mentioned his own favorite, which is apparently a supersized Big Mac meal with 4 single cheeseburgers and a Diet Coke. But then he offered his own hack to save calories. Bert Kreischer tweets, I take off the bottom bun, unless all the ketchup, pickles, and cheese are up top, and taco them out. Save the calories for another bottomless burger. So we're just eating a burger with only one bun. Okay. Not sure that's really helping. And thank goodness for Pete Davidson, because some days there's just not a lot of comedy news and you need to pad the podcast a little bit. Kim Kardashian took some bikini photos and people are wondering who took the bikini photos. In one of the photos, you can see the shadow of a man's head, or we think it's a man, holding up a phone, obviously taking the picture, and the sun creating a shadow. You understand how shadows work. People are zooming in and brightening up the image, trying to figure out if the mystery head is indeed Pete Davidson. Jimmy Kimmel had some jokes about Pete. Ariana Grande wrote a song about Pete Davidson. Now Kanye's got a song. He's just one Taylor Swift away from the heartbreak trifecta. You know, this reminds me of when Tupac wrote a diss track about Andy Samberg. Do you remember that? That's a great joke. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast if you're on an Android. Let's give Overcast some love today, huh? See you tomorrow.